This is The Overtone, a short story written by D.H. Lawrence and read for you by Paul Metcalf.
The Overtone. His wife was talking to two other women. He lay on the lounge, pretending to read. The lamps shed a golden light, and through the open door the night was lustrous, and a white moon went like a woman, unashamed and naked, across the sky. His wife, her dark hair tinged with grey, looped low on her white neck, fingered as she talked the pearl that hung in a heavy, naked drop against the bosom of her dress. She was still a beautiful woman, and one who dressed like the night for harmony. Her gown was of silk lace, all in flakes, as if the fallen pressed petals of black and faded red poppies were netted together with gossamer about her. She was 51 and he was 52. It seemed impossible. He felt his love cling round her like a dress, like a garment of dead leaves. She was talking to a quiet woman about the suffrage. The other girl, tall, rather aloof, sat listening in her chair with the posture of one who neither accepts nor rejects, but who allows things to go on around her, and will know what she thinks only when she must act. She seemed to be looking away into the night. A scent of honeysuckle came through the open door. Then a large grey moth blundered into the light. It was very still, almost too silent, inside the room. Mrs. Renshaw's quiet, musical voice continued. "But think of a case like Mrs. Mann's, now. She's a clever woman. If she had slept in my cradle and I in hers, she would have looked a greater lady than I do at this minute. But she married Mann, and she has 7 children by him, and goes out charring. Her children she can never leave, so she must stay with a dirty, drunken brute like Mann. If she had an income of £2 a week, she could say to him, 'Sir, goodbye to you,' and she would be well rid. But no, she's tied to him forever." They were discussing the estate endowment of mothers. She and Mrs. Hankin were bitterly keen upon it. Elsa Laskell sat and accepted their talk as she did the scent of the honeysuckle or the blundering adventure of the moth round the silk. It came burdened, not with the meaning of words, but with the feeling of the woman's heart as she spoke. Perhaps she heard a nightingale in the park outside. Perhaps she did. And then this talk inside drifted also to the girl's heart, like a sort of inarticulate music. Then she was vaguely aware of the man, sprawled in his homespun suit upon the lounge. He hadn't changed for dinner. He was called unconventional. She knew he was old enough to be her father, and yet he looked young enough to be her lover. They all seemed young, the beautiful hostess too, but with a meaningless youth that cannot ripen, like an unfertilized flower which lasts a long time. He was a man she classed as a Dane, with fair, almost sandy hair, blue eyes, long, loose limbs, and a boyish activity. But he was 52, and he lay looking out on the night with one of his hands swollen from hanging so long, inert, silent. The women bored him. Elsa Laskell sat in a sort of dreamy state, and the feelings of her hostess and the feeling of her host drifted like iridescence upon the quick of her soul, among the white touch of that moon out there, and the exotic heaviness of the honeysuckle, and the strange flapping of the moth. So still it was, behind the murmur of talk, a silence of being. Of the third woman, Mrs. Hankin, the girl had no sensibility. But the night and the moon, the moth, Will Renshaw and Edith Renshaw and herself, were all in full being, a harmony. To him it was 6 months after his marriage, and the sky was the same, and the honeysuckle in the air. He was living again his crisis, as we all must, fretting and fretting against our failure, till we've worn away the thread of our life. It was 6 months after his marriage, and they were down at the little bungalow on the bank of the Soar. They were comparatively poor, though her father was rich, and his was well-to-do. And they were alone in the little two-roomed bungalow that stood on its wild bank over the river among the honeysuckle bushes. He had cooked the evening meal. They had eaten the omelette and drank the coffee, and all was settling into stillness. He sat outside by the remnants of the fire, looking at the country lying level and lustrous grey opposite him. Trees hung like vapour in a perfect calm under the moonlight, and that was the moon so perfectly naked and unfaltering, going her errand simply through the night. And that was the river, faintly rustling. And there, down the darkness, he saw a flashing of activity, white betwixt black twigs. It was the water mingling and thrilling with the moon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?